22, verses 1 through 14, we're going to be talking about an invitation. It is a wonderful, wonderful invitation. And God has allowed you, by the mercy of God, that you hear this hour. Not a happenstance that you hear, but God has appointed a time in your life that your ears can hear the word of God. And you might be invited to this great supper, the great, wonderful invitation that God the Father has planned for God the Son. And that is the wedding supper of the Lamb. One of these days, we know that the rapture is going to happen. That's when all born-again believers are going to meet Jesus Christ in the air. Whether you believe it or not, that's actually going to happen. There'll be a generation that's alive, won't go through the door of death, and you'll be called away. And Jesus Christ won't come down to touch this earth at that time, but we'll see him in the air, and we'll go to meet Jesus Christ in the air. And it says the dead in Christ shall die first, and that's all that's remained. That may be here this day. We will be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will go through what we call the judgment seat of Christ. He will clean us up. I'm going to tell you, there'll be a smile on your face. Those that grunt may not have a smile today, but you will have a smile one day. Whenever Jesus Christ sets us before him, we go through the judgment seat of Christ. And then after the judgment seat of Christ, we'll have that great supper in the sky. The supper that God the Father has prepared for God the Son and his bride set around that table. And I hope that you'll be able to sit around that table today. I hope that you'll come and say, Lord, I want to go to that great supper. He's extending you this hour, that invitation to come to that great supper, because one of these days it's going to happen. Nobody can stop it from happening. You may not come, but I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ says, I'll build my church. He says, I'll be the one that's building that church. And whether you come or not, the others may come. So we find out that this great parable, we're going to be talking about that wonderful, wonderful invitation that God has prepared something in the future for each and every one of us. It knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I hope that you brought your Bible today. We might look together in the Word of God. And I hope that you bring your Bible, because you see, if you bring your Bible to your Bibles also bring you to church. Here we find out in the Word of God that Jesus Christ is coming again one of these days. He's coming to receive his bride. That supper going to be prepared. That is in the future. It's not here right now, but it may be before we leave this building. We don't know how long it's going to be. It could be any time, any moment of the time that Jesus Christ appear in heaven, and we will go up to meet him in the sky. But we know the presence of this hour. The King is not only coming, but the King is calling. And that's for you and I to understand this hour, that the King is calling. Now, these verses of scriptures, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, deals with this great, wonderful invitation that the Lord has called us today. And we'll find out, it says he started speaking in parables. Well, chapter 12 of the book of Matthew, we'll find out that Jesus Christ had a multitude of followers of people to him. They saw him heal people. They saw the great miracles that Jesus Christ done. Multitude of people was following him at that time. He healed a person, and then the old Pharisees and the Sadducees saw him heal a person. And they said, you know what? He did this, but now to explain this miracle away, they said he did this by the prince of the devil, Beelzebub. Jesus Christ saying, you know, that is blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, and there shall be no forgiveness against blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Whenever Jesus Christ has brought you, and the Holy Spirit of God has brought you up to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, and you understood that by the Spirit of God, and you reject that by the Spirit of God, these people from that forth on, they made a great sin, knowing Jesus Christ was the Son of God, knowing that nobody could do these miracles except by the power of God himself. Yet they denied this. And from that moment on, Jesus Christ began to speak about the kingdom of heaven in parables. In chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, we find that I spoke on the sower of the seed. He said, from then forth, he started speaking to the people in parables. Parable now, you know what a parable is. There's several parables now about the kingdom of God. The parable is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But Jesus told us also, it's for concealment for those that would not believe, but also for revelation for those would believe. And then from that forth on, Jesus began to speak only to the people in parables, because some would not believe and some would believe. It's by concealment and also by revelation. As we open another one of these parables here, we find in this parable, the parable of the Supper of the Lamb. We find this is to the nation of Israel. You see, Jesus Christ always comes to us first. All the way through the New Testament, especially in the gospel stages, you'll find that Jesus Christ says to the Jew first, to the Jew first, and to the Jew first. Well, this parable is dealing strictly with the Jew. Now, that is the interpretation of this parable, is to the Jewish nation. But now the application is to whosoever will, because we find out the Jews rejected that great, wonderful invitation. And then we'll find in these verses of scriptures, it's to the whole world. And we find out that Jesus Christ, knowing at that great supper that God the Father, so wonderful and so great, has extended to that nation of Israel, was so great and so wonderful for them to come. And yet, like many people today, and maybe some is going to sit in this building today and reject this wonderful, this beautiful invitation to come to Jesus in that supper and reject it. And then you'll find in chapter 23 of the next chapter, we'll find that Jesus Christ was riding over the Mount of Olives, and he's looking down upon that little village called Jerusalem. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how would I like to take you as a chicken taking her little bitties under my wings, but yet you would not. He was talking about the nation of Israel because they have just rejected in the past chapter, they had just rejected this wonderful invitation. But you would not, he says. And then it says that Jesus Christ wept. The weeping. And maybe you can understand this parable a little better, because the weeping of our Savior, something is so precious to God the Father, prepared for God the Son, for that nation Israel that he loved and called them the apple of his eye. And yet they would not accept that beautiful invitation, a national invitation. So he stopped with that, and we'll find in these verses of scriptures, now it's to you today. Now you have been invited to this beautiful, beautiful wedding supper. How will you respond to this? You're here today and you've never accepted Jesus. You'll have an opportunity for this great invitation. God has allowed me this day to present to you the invitation to come to this Lord's Supper, this great supper of the Lamb. I know this is the time of weddings, this time of the year. Had one yesterday, and week after next, we're going to have another one. The invitations have been sent out for the friends and the family and the loved ones to come. You know, today, I want to extend to you an invitation, that great invitation to come to that supper. Now, you can take this invitation and you can reject it. You can act indifference about it, that don't bother you and you don't care, and you walk back out of this building the way you come in. Or you can act hostility towards this. You can laugh at it and you can mock about it. But I'm going to tell you, regardless of how you act and how you react, there will be a supper of the Lamb. And those who are not at the supper of the Lamb is going to be in a place. It's called a place called hell. God not intend for anybody in mankind to ever go to that place. If you will not accept this invitation, he's got no other choice. The devil was made for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for mankind. But hell has become the garbage heap of the world, of the souls who have rejected this great supper. And it's so simple to come. We'll find out in these verses of scriptures that everything has been made ready. There's nothing that you have to do. The Father has prepared everything for the banquet for his Son. And I just ask you this day, how are you going to respond to this invitation? Chapter 22 and verse 1 says, and Jesus answered and spoke again another parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made up a marriage for his son, and sent forth a servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, telling them, those who had bid them, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. He went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took the servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them, killed them. Then when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his army and destroyed the murderers and burned up the city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden would not worthy. Go ye therefore into all the highways, and as many as ye find, bid them to come to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many would found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and cast him away, and cast him into outer darkness. Thou shalt be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you for this great invitation that you've sent out through your Son to the whole world today. Lord, how I pray, God, that you might take the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and Lord, it might find the heart of the people this day. Oh, if there's just one person, Lord, that would come today, all heaven would rejoice of this great invitation, Lord, that you've sent out. Lord, we know that one of these days there's going to be a table. Lord, it's going to be spread, Lord, for all those that are saved. Sitting around that table, I pray that I might see my loved ones. I pray I might see my family sitting across that table. Father, if you're here this day, and Father, you're not sure, maybe you're not sure this day if you're going to be at that table, Lord, you need to make it sure. You need to accept this today of salvation through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you help us this day. This could be the greatest day of someone's life. How, Father, what we just love you, what you've done for us. We pray, Lord, that the love, as we said of Jesus Christ, how that you would gather us together this day as a chicken would gather her brood. Father, hold us close to your arms, and the warmth of the Holy Spirit might warm the heart that might be cold here this day. And we want to thank you for these precious words, O God, and they are alive. Father, I pray that you might speak through me. And Lord, I'm not nothing but just an errand boy. Lips are made of clay. Father, through the Holy Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God, Lord, we want to thank you for what you're going to be doing in this church this day, in the hearts and lives of your people, as we do humbly pray. Amen. We have here the privilege that God has given to extend on the behalf of Jesus Christ this wonderful invitation. Many years ago, but now Pleasant Hill is extended to everyone here. Now, you have been invited to weddings having today if you just accept what he's done. Now, this is the parable of the feast, as you understand it, of that great supper in the sky. But as I said, a little bit of the setting of this parable I've already told you about. But we find that this setting is a parable, as I told you, is a parable that's just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's also for concealing and it's also for revealing. The parable's about a wedding now, and the extent of this, it tells an example about the fullness of salvation. This wedding tells us about the fullness of salvation, about the joy that we really have in Christ Jesus, and also about the real beauty of having a wedding there, and it illustrates the glory of the eternal being with Jesus Christ forever and ever. In Revelation 19 and 7, it tells us, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife have been made ready. What a great pleasure it is, the joy that we have in Christ Jesus to understand of this great wedding day, the eternal glory of God in this wedding. Oh, what a day that'll be when my Jesus that I shall see, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to that promised land. What a day, what a day, what a glorious day that will be when he sets me down upon that table. And you see that table extends out into eternity. Well, miles and miles and miles is room enough for everybody. When you sit down at that table, you'll be filled, I can tell you that. What a day that's going to be. I like to see the gladness of that day, the great gladness that we're going to have to understand. Out in the future, if you already accepted Jesus Christ, you should be glorying God this day because of the gladness that he's going to fulfill in you. But the great joy that we're going to have knowing what Christ Jesus has done, everything that he said he's going to do. He began a good work in you, and he will finish this work until that day of redemption. Then that way you'll be like Jesus Christ. That great joy and that great gladness of that marriage supper of the Lamb. No need for you to be in a place called hell, because the extension to be into everybody, whosoever will, shall come and accept this great invitation today. Why don't people come? Why don't people come to this great invitation this day? Why would you sit idle by and watch it as people turns around and walks out the door? The setting in the background, as I told you, is about the Jewish nation and why Jesus Christ had a tear in his eyes and he wept, he said, the shortest verse in the Bible, whenever he realized that they have rejected the supper of the Lamb. I'm going to tell you, weddings today, when you send out an invitation and people will not come, it would be sad for the person to send out the invitation and nobody would come. That's the reason Jesus Christ wept that day and the next chapter of Matthew 23, because the people will not come. That was the nation of Israel. He turned Jesus Christ down. He come to his own received him not. How sad it was for Jesus Christ. How he loved his brethren, how he loved the nation of Israel, because God chosen those, the apple of their eye, but yet they would not. So he'll extend this great invitation for us today. Now we find out this is a personal application. It was a national application in Jesus' time, but now we find out now it is a personal application. This application now is whosoever will may come. The Lord invites everybody on the face of this earth. You know that the Oriental wedding was a lot different than what we have weddings this day. But I'd like for you to look in this parable just a few moments. You see the setting of it was, as I told you, for the nation of Israel to come, but also for the son of this parable. Now, the son of this parable is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior this day. As you see, verse 2, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. That's Jesus Christ. It's what represents Jesus Christ. Important you to understand who God the Son is. Because if you don't understand who God the Son is, you see, you will never make it to heaven. On this way to heaven is by Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door, the way, the truth, and no man come to the Father except by me. We really need to understand that God the Son. Now, a lot of people think they'd be all right with God, but know Jesus Christ. That is absolutely a lie. That's absolutely a falsehood. You cannot be right with God unless you're right with Jesus Christ, his son. A lot of times you see in Wake Cross and other little cities, you see two white young men in white shirts riding a bicycle through the town. Sometimes they'll be in their car and they might knock on your door, and they want to tell you about Joseph Smith. Because, you see, they think they're all right with God, but they're off with Jesus Christ. They won't tell you about Joseph Smith. Well, I can tell you, if you're off on Jesus Christ and what you believe about Jesus Christ, it won't matter what you believe about Joseph Smith if you don't believe about Jesus Christ. So you can tell them if they ever come to your house, what you believe about Jesus Christ. Because if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it won't make any difference what you believe about Joseph Smith. I'm going to tell you, they're always off on Jesus Christ. You cannot be right with God this morning and be against Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ loved, you should love. I mean, you can't be right with God. Say, I got something going with God. Me and God got something going together. You and God ain't got nothing going together if it ain't through his son, Jesus Christ, I can tell you right now. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ died for the churches. Jesus Christ died and set up local churches. Yes, and I'm going to tell you what, if Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, set up local churches, he expects you to be here. Why? Because it's his church. It's not my church. It's not a Baptist church. It's Jesus' church. And if you name the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, if you got things right with the Son, you got things right with the Father, you'll be where God has called you to be. You never see, you never answer the sin question, and first you understand the Son question and who Jesus Christ is. Now, you find that a lot of religions of the world, they think they're right, and without being right with Jesus Christ, they cannot be right with God. There's a lot of religions of the world, but they get off on the Son. I believe in God, but that's not enough. Jesus Christ said, there's no man can come to the Father except by me. That is Jesus Christ, but he is the one. God said, this is my beloved Son. You know what it says? Hear ye him, what he says that you need to do. In the Old Testament, Psalm 2:2 tells us, the kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed saying. Now that's a Hebrew word. The anointing means Christ. You see, Christ was in the Old Testament also. Christ in the New Testament. Also, Christ was in the Old Testament. That ain't all. We find out in that same Psalm in verse 12, it tells us, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye shall perish away. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. There's no escape hell and the wrath of God except Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior. This is a wonderful invitation to whoever here is not saved this day. Everybody knows what John 3:16 says. John 3:16 and also John 17. Listen as we read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but ever have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into this world to condemn this world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son of God, everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son have not life, but the wrath of God that abideth on him. The wrath of God. God has a wrath. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ and will not accept Jesus Christ, there is a wrath. God, he said, this is my Son who I am well pleased. You cannot honor the Father and deny Jesus Christ. Get this straight. A lot of people think they're honoring God this day, but they are not honoring God unless you honor Jesus Christ. You cannot deny Jesus Christ the same. Now, let's look at the service now of this parable for just a moment. This service now where you and I come in. Now, in the verse 3 of this servant, it tells us now who the servants are. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. The servants went out and said for people to come. But you see, all the nation of Israel, they would not come. They did not like this. They would not come. And then verse 4, it says, again, he sent forth other servants. Who is these other servants? These other servants are supposed to be you and I today. To tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattened are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. Now, you know what a church is supposed to be? It's supposed to be a hub of evangelism in their area. That's exactly what this church ought to be. That's exactly what every church that named the name of Jesus Christ ought to be, a hub of evangelism in this area. It ought to be a place where every child of God can come to as a member of this church and work and know that they got a platform, they got a foundation to work. They might go out and reach out. That's the reason we need to reach out. That's the reason we have visitation. All Sunday school classes, that should be a hub in your class to reach out to other people. There's some empty chairs, I guarantee you, in every one of our Sunday school classes that somebody was not there. That is an invitation for you to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. You are the servants of the Lord this day. Here I tell you to invite somebody on Wednesday night, invite somebody back, go out to the highways and hedges, because this is a hub of all churches, is a hub of evangelism to the world and the country and the community around us this day. Look at our duty and see what it says, our service that we see here today. The soul winner, commission us, the King of Glory, give you the privilege and give me the privilege this morning to extend this great invitation to you. But also he's given everybody to tell them to come to this wedding. Will you obey? It's your duty. It's your obligation. It's your responsibility to do what God has called every one of us to do this day. Don't just think it's just for one or two. It's for everybody. Because you see, there's some stretched down hands, and that stretched down hands is the hand of Jesus Christ reaching down this day. He's reaching down from glory today with those downstretched hands for someone that's sitting in this pew today. You ought to be able to feel those out downstretched hands, hands of glory. It's reaching around you today and saying for you to come to my supper, to come to my supper. Those nail-scarred hands is reaching to you today, and he's saying for us to come. But also, you know, there's some upstretched hand from a place called hell. Did you know what? There's some people in hell that's concerned about people that are still alive. And we find there in Luke chapter 27 and Luke chapter 16, verse 27, 28, it says, and the rich man and Lazarus died. You remember that? And the rich man went to hell and Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. And the verse says, he said, then the rich man said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. That's Lazarus, a rich man crying now. For I have five brothers that may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. I mean, the upstretched hands of a people in hell still had a desire for people not to come to this place called hell. I mean, hell is a real place. That's a place of consciousness. People today think, well, when I go to hell, I'll be all burnt up and that's all over with. No, sir, you won't be all burnt up and that's over with. I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be two resurrections. There's going to be resurrection of the living, there's going to be resurrection of the lost. One of these days, I said, the rapture is going to come. These old bodies, a lot of our loved ones and friends and the bodies of out in an old cemetery somewhere or another, that old body is rusting away in that old dirt. It's going back to ashes that it come from, but one of these days as the rapture come, those new bodies are going to come out of the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to have a new body fashioned for heaven that you might enjoy heaven, because you can't enjoy heaven in these bodies that we're living in right now. It's got to be a change over to the body that we might be able to understand the great glory in heaven. And that's going to be a resurrection of the live. That's going to be a resurrection one of these days. But you find that last book of Revelation, they're going to be a resurrection of damnation. They're going to be a resurrection when the dead, the ones out there in that same graveyard, it's lost and never accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. At the time they die, their soul and their spirit went to a place of torment. They're in torment now. But then it says there in the book of Revelation, they're going to be resurrected back up, and they're going to be a judgment then. And then it says they're going to be cast out then into eternity, and at that time they're going to have their new bodies fashioned to hell. They might be able to burn forever and ever and ever and ever, and they're going to feel, they're going to be a consciousness. I'm going to tell you, whenever you come into this world, God give you a life, and I'm going to tell you what, that little one that you hold in your arm, that little one that, you know what, you have your loved ones, your family, your friends, that person going to live someone forever and ever and ever. It's going to be someplace. Everybody in this building is going to be someplace. There's a place called hell. There's a place called heaven. I'm going to tell you what, you make a choice. God has given you a choice today. He's made it possible that nobody has to go to hell. He sent out this invitation today that you don't have to sit on those pews and say, I won't go. You can come if you want to. God has extended this invitation that God is reaching down from heaven, but also people is reaching up from hell. But that's not all we find out. We also find out people's reaching out also, and that's for us today. That's the service. That's the soul winner. That's the people that you have went to this past week. That's the people that you prayed for salvation. That's the people that you knocked on the door this past week. That's the people that you called on the telephone. That's the people that you asked to be at church here on Wednesday night. That's the people that you talked to at the drugstore. That's the people that you went there to the station and filled up with gas, that you asked them, were they saved or they lost? That's the people that you invited all through this week, every one of them. That's all the people in your Sunday school class, each one of those. You invited so many people today in your Sunday school. All through this week, you've been inviting people. That's the people. We're the service there. You're giving them a chance. This is the arm that's stretched out. We have some arm that's stretching now, the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. We have those in hell, you know, that still has a desire for people not to come to this place of torment. But then you and I, the ones, our hands are reaching out, that God has given us a hand. Jesus Christ has no hands except you and my hands today. He has no eyes except the eyes that you have today. He has no mouth except the mouth that speaks through you and I today. I'm going to tell you, he has no feet except the feet that he gave us to walk to the people and knock on the door. And that's what we ought to do. We're called the servants of the Lord today, the soul winner of the Lord today. I don't know about you, but if you're not fulfilling your responsibility, what God has called you to do, and your obligation, what God has called you to do, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to stand before God one of the days, and your hand's going to be bloody because there's people that's going to hell around us today. I dare say that every one of us knows someone that's saved. I don't believe everybody knows somebody that's saved today, and they need to be in heaven today, but have you told them? It says, you know, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without hearing the word of God, the Spirit of God cannot take the word of God and reveal to that lost heart the Son of God. But whenever you speak to someone about being lost, that's exactly what takes place. They cannot be saved without the hearing. They got to hear and understand that Jesus Christ is one that died on the cross for their sin. And that's what the word of God does for them. All you got to do is read the word of God. All you got to do is tell them about the word of God. You don't have to tell them about a whole lot of verses. The Holy Spirit of God will take what you give them and take care of their heart, and then he'll give them a choice. It will be off your hands. We can't save anybody. I can't preach anybody into heaven. And the words that I'm preaching here this day, if you don't set them by faith, it absolutely do you no good whatsoever, except be held against you on the day of judgment if you're not saved. Today I'm telling you about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what, you need to be saved today. There's no other day like the day that you can be saved. You see, only time that you can be saved when the Spirit of God is dwelling with you. When the Spirit of God, as I said, he takes the word of God and reveals to you the Son of God, that you might be saved today. There's no other time that you could be saved. You don't come back next week like the devil will tell you, well, you know, you're not right this day. You know, there's a lot of things in your life that you need to change today. You know what? One of these days you intend to get right. I'm going to be saved. I know I'm not like those people. There's something they have that I don't have. One of these days I'm going to get right. There's some things in my life I know I shouldn't be doing, and I'm going to try my best to quit doing these things. And whenever I get good enough, I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to be saved. There's no such thing as that. There's no way that you can do that. You cannot clean up your life yourself. If you could clean up your life yourself, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, would not have to come. He said for you to come just like you are, because you can't clean up your life. You can't go back home and quit this and quit that. Because I'm going to tell you, if you could quit everything that you've known in your life that you could quit doing, every wrong thing that you could quit, that would not make you any closer to God this day, because you know you're not accepted because of what you do. You're accepted because of what Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. These outstretched hands today. These outstretched hands we stretch down. As I see this today, Jesus Christ loves us so much. That song we sing, Rescue the Perishing. Now, I'm going to tell you, people are perishing around us today. Care for the dying today. There was a picture I read about a a man had a picture in his office about a shipwreck. And that picture in his office, a great, big, beautiful picture of a shipwreck. And out on that ship, out like the Titanic going down, there was a bunch of lifeboats around. The people were just holding up their hands to try to get them to hold on to them on those lifeboats. And those people on the lifeboats was reaching down and grabbing people's hands and just pull them into the lifeboat in that picture. And a little boy come in and says, sir, I look at that picture, and I just wonder, are those people in those lifeboats, are they just trying to shake hands with the people, or are they trying to save them? You know, it's good that you shook hands with someone today, but how about sharing them that responsibility of being saved? Are you just shaking hands with people, or are you going on through and giving them a full plan of salvation that they need to be saved? The servants are soul winners. But then look at the supper for just a moment, as I may not get through with all these points. The supper for just a moment, this parable. Again, there in verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bid me, hold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. How sweet it is. Supper represents here the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. Again, Revelation said the marriage of the Lamb, it, let us come rejoice and be glad together. What a great day. Come to Jesus Christ. Some people think if you come to Jesus Christ, you got to give up everything you ever had fun about. It's like coming to a funeral. Coming to Jesus Christ is not coming to a funeral. Coming to Jesus Christ is coming to a feast. Everything he asks you to give up is something that will hurt you. And the only thing he'll give you is something that will help you. You see, there's a royal feast. It's the King of Heaven that has invited us. You know, this is not my feast. I'm not inviting you to come. Jesus is. He just let me extend the invitation. But this is just a royal feast of the King of Glory. I mean the one that made this world, the one that threw the stars in space. I mean one that created this world out of nothing, just spoke his word. I mean one that created you this day and gave you the life to breathe. The King of the universe have extended this to you. Can you imagine a king's banquet for you? Then how rich this feast is. You know how rich it is. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. I'm going to tell you, this is no pork and beans. I mean, this ain't no finger food. I mean, he said, all things are ready. It's a ready feast. It's a king's feast. It's a rich feast. I'm going to tell you what, it's a ready feast. All things are ready. Now come. You don't have to bring anything. Somebody invites you over for supper. Well, what you want me to bring? Well, bring a dish of so-and-so. Jesus Christ, the Father says, come. Everything is ready. You don't bring anything. He just extended us with joy of this fellowship. Tragedy today that some people, the heartaches and sickness and sorrow, they won't come to this great feast of salvation, this royal feast and this rich feast and this ready feast. But we find there in verse 6, 5 and 6, they scoffed at this, made fun of this invitation. Can you imagine today that people's doing this today, verse 5 and 6, but they made light of it and went their ways, and one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took the servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. Here today, it's unbelievable, unconceivable that a man would treat an invitation like that. But I believe there may be somebody sitting here is going to treat this invitation the same way. They make light of it, and they'll turn and they'll walk out. When you reject this invitation, the progress of step down begins to happen. If you're today and you're lost and you will not come today, you know there's a progress of step down comes into your life. It says there in verse 3, they would not come. That means the indifference. So many times I close my Bible and people walk out of these doors, they're just indifferent, don't really care about the invitation. You witness to people and they don't really care, they're just indifferent about the Word of God. They're indifferent about the things of God. They're indifferent about the people of God. They just don't really care, they're just indifferent. That's the first step down. As you see, then their mockery takes place. He said they make light upon it. Well, listen to that old fool up there. Little old fool up there preaching. Listen to that old fool. Well, see, they're making light of this. I don't have to come. I'm as good as anybody else in that church. One of these days you learn that you're just as bad as everybody else in this church. Not the goodness, but the badness. So what they do, their mockery, step down, they slew them. Then we find out then hostility. They slew them. The progress now of hardening of that heart this day. It says there in Hebrews, today if you hear the voice of God, harden not your heart. If you hear the voice of God speaking to you today, don't harden your heart. He asked for you to come. You know, there was a time of a this explorer went to the Arctic to explore the Antarctic. And as we know, the didn't have the modern technology, communication, the radios, but he left on his way from Ohio, went up to the Arctic to explore the great Arctic. Well, his wife was left behind, and there's no way to get in touch with her for 2 years passed by. And all his wife knew to do was just sit there and pray. Didn't know he was alive in over 2 years. She hadn't heard from him, didn't know if he was alive or he was dead. But she sat there every day and she prayed for him as she began to take her knitting to pass off her time. Then one day a little bird come by and was pecking on the window, trying to get in to her house. And she looked and she saw it was a homing pigeon. You know what a homing pigeon is. And she brought that little bird in. She lifted up her window and brought that little bird in, and she kissed that little bird because she had a little note on the bottom of his foot there, taped to his foot. And that little note was from her husband. And she opened a little piece of paper, and it says, "All is well." Now, can you imagine the thrill she had? Can you imagine now that same woman, that little bird pecking on that windowsill? And she just kept on about her business, knitting. Indifferent, didn't care about that bird. She just kept on knitting, and that bird was pecking on that windowsill. Can you imagine she might have even went to that windowsill and tried to shoo it away? Get away from here. Just try to get that bird away. And then you see she might have even took a broom and even tried to kill that little bird. Can you imagine a woman doing that? I want to tell you the day in this service right now, the holy pigeon of God, Spirit of God, is pecking on your heart's door. Can you imagine inviting you to this great supper? And you won't come. You go in me indifferent to this homing pigeon that's pecking on your heart door? Or are you gonna be mocking against this holy pigeon and you won't come? Or are you going to try to be hostility and just go out being mad and even try to kill this? God says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." You may not ever get another opportunity. You see the indifference, the scorning, the hostility. And then as I hurry for just a moment, the sentencing of this parable in verse 7. "But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his army, destroyed and those murders and burned up the city." The sentencing now of this parable. God's justice, God's wrath, God's love, God's holiness. Now, here's the answer we find, as I told you in Matthew 23, whenever Jesus Christ was crying. You know, it's always that we find out this is a prophecy against the nation of Israel. 70 years after this, we know that Titus, the king of Rome, moved in. And this is this verse of scripture tells us exactly what happened. God sent that old Roman Empire. I'm going to tell you, it destroyed the nation of Israel. It burned it down. Not a stone was left on top of another. It was totally destroyed because they had rejected the nation. We find out in 70 A.D. that old Titus, so many people killed, so many Christians was killed. The United States have rejected also this. We do not know what's going to happen to our country, as I spoke the other day. But we know one thing. In our country right now, they have been more Bible cared to everybody. We got more Bibles in this country. We got more preaching than ever been in any other country in the world. We got more programs on television about how to be saved. We got more bookstores. But whosoever much is given, much will be required. God is requiring of us this day. Now the say of the parables I hurry, 8, 9, and 10. "Then he said to the servant, wedding is ready, but which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore to highways, and many shall find, and bid to them the marriage. So the servants went their way to the highways, and gathered together all that may be found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests." Well, you see, if you won't receive the gospel, somebody else will. You sit here this hour, you will not accept the gospel. You will not come down this aisle. You will not be saved. You rejected the gospel. You rejected the invitation. I'm going to tell you what, that will not stop. That will not stop the bride being concealed. God is going to set forth and do what he set out to do. If you do not receive it, somebody else will receive it. But God is going to keep on. His bride will be complete today. It says the good and the bad. There's nobody bad enough that can't be saved. Nobody good enough that don't need to be saved. He says, "You go. Whosoever will you come for the supper?" Then you find out there was a person there that was very speechless there. A person was speechless, as we find out. It says there in verse 12, and he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou hither, having not on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. You see, the wedding garment, at that time, when you went to a wedding that day in Oriental country, there was a wedding garment established for everybody. You did not have to worry about buying a tuxedo. Everybody had a wedding garment furnished for them because you was going to the king's supper, the wedding supper, and there's no excuse. They went up to that, how come you don't have one on? That was a statement. Why don't you have one on? There was no excuse for not having one on. Why? Because you come through the door, the wedding garments were furnished there. He could not say, I did not have time. I go to have time to come through the wedding door. There was a garment there. He had time. He couldn't say, I couldn't have buy one because I didn't have no money because they was free. The same today as you come to the supper, are you clothed in that great garment? In that garment this morning, I'm going to tell you, if you go into that supper, God is going to furnish that garment through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, the whole story of mankind is wrapped up in your clothes. In the Garden of Eden, man first was covered with the glory of God. Man sinned. Then he tried to clothe himself in fig leaves. That's your righteousness. Then God had to kill animals and clothe mankind, Adam and Eve, in the clothes of animals. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And then each one of us, if we've sinned, Isaiah says, our righteousness are filthy rags in the sight of God. So there leaves us only one more clothing. And that's what Jesus Christ done for us. He clothed us in heaven righteousness. He imputed His righteousness to you. When you come down this aisle and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that you be fit for heaven, be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and not yours. The kingdom of heaven is sent an invitation to you this hour. Would you come? Would you come? If I give you this invitation to this marriage, would you sign this and say I'll come? Would you say no, indifference? Because right now, whether you believe it or not, I'm extending now this invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. As we come with a song of invitation.